Hi, and welcome to this week's service from the Western Heights Uniting Church. Last week, we started looking at Tom Wright's book, God and the Pandemic. And that book explores how it is that we as Christians might be informed by the scriptures about how we're to understand and how we're to act and how we're to be when things go quite wrong, as they have with the pandemic. Last week, we had a joint service online with St. Luke's and with Belmont, and Paul opened up the question of how people have looked at this kind of problem over history. Today, we're going to be looking at how the Old Testament informs our understanding of where God is when things go awfully wrong. And it's not a simple question, because the Old Testament is written over a span of years, at least 1,500 years. And if you think back to the way people thought 100 years ago, just think back to the way they thought 1,500 years ago. Well, it was no different in the times of the writing of the scriptures. People's understanding is moving on. They're growing as they move. And we need to grow in our understanding of God as we move through this business of life. So today we're going to be looking at the Old Testament and how that might inform our understanding of who we are and who we are to be, being faithful to Christ in the pandemic. I'm going to light the candle as a symbol that God is with us. Christ, the light of the world, be with you.
Psalm 13. It's a psalm or a song that expresses the turmoil within this writer, within this songster, and the way that he or she is working through an issue or issues in which they can't see God. How long? And then it works its way through until we see this. Again, this trust in God, even though the turmoil hasn't yet been resolved. Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death, and my enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me.
That psalm that Jan just read to us is really interesting because it takes us, as we listen to the psalm, as we share with the writer in the feelings that they've got, it takes us through a time of obvious great consternation. And then at the end of the psalm, there's this statement, but God, you're still God. What's going on? In his book, God and the Pandemic, Tom Wright explores how the Old Testament writers wrestled with their faith when they were talking about how things can go badly wrong. What do you do with it? When everything's going well, it's really easy to assume that, you know, God is in control. I'm trusting in God. He's looking after me. It's like Psalm 1. I'm like a tree, you know, a righteous person is like a tree planted by the rivers and their roots go down. They flower in season and out of season, in dry or whatever. The tree's always flourishing. That's really nice while everything's going well. But for most of us, life doesn't always go well. And the Old Testament deals with that. You can see it in a lot of the Psalms. The psalmist says, you know, what do I do here? You know, my bed is drenched with my tears. And in the book of Job, you've got a man who, he can't accept that he's just done something wrong and deserved God's punishment. That argument just doesn't work. All this mishap has come upon him, and he hasn't done anything to deserve it particularly. It's not a quid pro quo, I do good things, life's good. I do bad things, life will go bad. It doesn't work like that. So what do these people do? Well, one of the things that they do, and Tom Wright points this out in his second chapter, which is on the Old Testament. One of the things that they do is they lay their lament before God. They're dead honest. God, what are you doing? Why are you letting this happen to me? They pour out their grief, their confusion, their anxiety. It's one of the things that we see encouraged in the Old Testament. In fact, they call these type of psalms, psalms of lament. Because the people of the Old Testament, just like us, go through times when things go really awry and they've got no idea why it's gone awry. It should be that things would run nicely, but they haven't. Where's God in that? Well, God's in that. And when we're looking for God, we shouldn't just look for God in the things that are going beautifully, because God is there in the midst of suffering too. And Christ on the cross is the absolute, strong, clear, crystal clear statement. God is there in the despair. God is there in the suffering. God doesn't withdraw from that kind of thing. Some years ago, Walter Brueggemann wrote a book called The Spirituality of the Psalms. And he talks about different types of things that can happen in the Psalms. And he talks about how there are Psalms of orientation, Psalm 1's like that. Everything's going wonderfully. I know God's in control and things will go well for me as long as I do what God wants. Most of us know that life is not that simple. Those are Psalms of orientation. And most of us come to a time in our lives when that simply doesn't work. And I remember in my own life at one point, committed everything to God, laid out everything so that I could do the work of ministry and mission. And in a matter of a couple of years, just about everything went wrong that could go wrong. And I'm saying, God, where on earth are you? How can all this be happening? And people offered me stupid answers. Oh, you've stepped out from under God's sheltering umbrella. Where? How? And Walter Brueggemann talks about these sort of psalms where the person's saying, what have I done? You know, how can this be? Psalms of disorientation. Psalms of disorientation, moments of disorientation, are not necessarily bad. They're terribly distressing. They're unsettling. They throw you into consternation. But God is there in disorientation and consternation. And these are often the times when the naivety of our faith is shown to be that. And we have to learn what faith is about when things go really wrong. Now we're in the middle of COVID-19. Where's our faith in that? We're in the middle of COVID-19. We can't meet as church. Where's our faith in that? And this is where lament is important, because lament is often very creative. Because when it's all laid out there honestly before God, we get a chance to really see what's going on, and then to begin to reorientate and understand where God is in these difficult moments. And that's the third type of psalm, a psalm of reorientation, where you've come to a deeper understanding of the randomness of life, but learned to find God in the midst of it, where you've had to let go of the things that you used to hang on to, but God is still there, and you can find God in the new things. In this COVID-19, I've often heard people say, I want to get back to the way things used to be before. That was before. But God is doing new things all the time. And our life is like that. We need to be letting go, because we're always coming towards the God who is way beyond us. And so it is healthy that things are being let go and new understandings are being picked up. That's part of our spiritual growth. And any type of growth has growing pains. And sometimes they're pretty painful. But it doesn't mean God isn't there. So Tom Wright has a look in his book at the Old Testament and the language of lament, and how important it is to not try and climb out of it with a quick fix, but to sit with it for a while with God and let God be there in the suffering until light starts to emerge, not forced, but emerges. And this is where faith comes in. Some people's faith is tied to an idea that is theirs. If that idea fails, God has failed. But it isn't God that's failed. It's the human idea that's been wrapped around God, and that God can never quite fit into. So disorientation often is the means by which we expand our understanding of God. It isn't God that needs to be chucked out. It's the pride that says, I know what the truth is, and when it doesn't fit, it must be God that's wrong, not my understanding. Maybe coming back to the Beatitudes, that's why Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What do you do when something's really wrong? What do you do when something's really wrong for someone you love? I'm going to share a story with you in a moment. It's a beautiful story because it picks up in a kid's way. Sorry, I'm told it's intergenerational way. It picks up something that an old mentor of mine once taught me. He said, Bruce, when you're praying for someone, it's not like you're asking God to change his mind and do a bit better. What you're doing is you're reaching out with all of your love through the being of God to that other person. This story is about that, and I hope you love the story. Before I come to that story, I want to share a song with you that I love. It's called Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. In the good times, in the difficult times, Blessed be the name of the Lord. God is bigger. And that's what I want to share with you in this song. I hope you enjoy it.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I turn back to praise. When the darkness closes,
Our story today is about Amy and Louie, and it's written by Libby Gleason and Freya Blackwood. Amy and Louie built towers as high as the sky. They dug holes deep enough to bury bears, and they saw magical creatures in the clouds. When Amy was in the sandpit and Louie was on the swing, she called to him across the yard with a special word her mum taught her. Coo-ee! Louie! And Louie always came to play. When Louie was in the dressing up corner and Amy was with the Play-Doh, he called to her across the room with the same special word. Coo! Amy! And Amy always came to play. When they were at home, they called to each other across the fence. Coo-ee! Louie! Coo-ee! Amy! And one of them would soon come climbing through the gap with secrets to share. But one day, Amy and her family moved a long, long way away. To the other side of the world. Louie stopped building towers, stopped digging holes, and stopped staring at clouds. He no longer called to anyone across the yard, the room, or the fence. He thought about Amy every day and every night. In the place where Amy was, there was nowhere to dig holes or build towers, and the clouds held only raindrops. And Amy thought about Louis every night and every day. "If I call Amy really loudly, she'll hear me, won't she?" Louis asked his mum. But his mum shook her head. "Amy is too far away," she said. "When you are awake in the day, she is asleep at night." "If I call Amy really loudly, she'll hear me, won't she?" he asked his dad. His dad shook his head. "Amy is half the world away," he said. "When she is awake in the day, you're asleep at night." "If I call Amy with the loudest call anyone could ever, ever do, she'll hear me, won't she?" he asked his grandma. "Maybe," his grandma said. "You can only try." So Louis spread his arms as wide as he could, and he threw his head back, and he called, "Coo-ee, Amy!" His cry rang out across the yard, across the street, and past the edge of the town. Louis fell back and stared up at the sky, where clouds were making strange seahorses and wild, wild dragons. Across the ocean, in a city where tall buildings stretched to the sky, Amy woke and came sleepily to breakfast. "I had a lovely dream," she said. "I dreamt about Louis, and he called me." The end. As we come towards a close today, I want to read to you something that came up in my daily reflections. And it is the prayer of St. Patrick. It's called the Deer's Cry. And it goes like this. "I arise today, vast might, invocation of the Trinity, belief in a threeness, confession of oneness, meeting in the Creator. I arise today, might of heaven, brightness of sun, whiteness of snow, splendor of fire, speed of light, swiftness of wind, depth of sea, stability of earth, firmness of rock. I arise today, might of God for my piloting, wisdom of God for my guidance, eye of God for my foresight, ear of God for my hearing, word of God for my utterance, hand of God for my guardianship, path of God for my procession. Shield of God for my protection. Host of God for my salvation. Christ with me. Christ before me. Christ behind me. Christ in me. Christ under me. Christ over me. Christ to the right of me, Christ to the left of me, Christ in lying down, Christ in sitting, Christ in rising up, Christ in the heart of every person who may think of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who may speak to me, Christ in every eye which may look on me, Christ in every ear which may hear me. I arise today, vast might, invocation of the Trinity, belief in a threeness, confession of oneness, meeting in the Creator. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide upon us all, now and evermore. Amen.